welcome to Sight to the Blonde podcast. I feel like I have to repeat myself. I said this at the beginning of this show. The very first episode, I said this. I don't care about your religion. I don't care about your gender. I don't care about your color, your race, your ethnicity. I don't care. You understand this? I don't care. I don't care about your favorite celebrities. I don't care about your favorite celebrities' children. I do not care. That's the point of leaving this world. That's the point of the scripture saying a man has friend is the, if a man trying to be a friend of the world is enmity between him and the Most High. Do y'all not understand that passage? Some of you are trying to live halfway in between two worlds. You're trying to be on social media, keep your personality on social media, and then try to praise the Most High the way you think social media allows you to praise the Most High. I can't tell you how many times I've seen bios of random scriptures or I'm God's woman or I'm God's child, and then the whole page be either somebody throwing up the middle finger or it's butt, leg, breast shots. I mean, and then you come to my page, or people come to my page with I get it. A lot of stuff that I post is jarring. It's only because I've done the work. I've been in this for 2 to 3 years, and I see the same patterns with celebrities, including their children. So you come into my page upset because I'm touching your favorite celebrity. That is the problem with our generation and within our nation. We suffer from this sickening idol worship disease. We suffer from it. Because we think that to get back at America for all the atrocities they've done to us is to have a specific character, a specific sports star, entertainer, singer, politician, or what have you, is a punch in the eye of white America. That's why you guys follow and worship these celebrities so hard. So you can't really see the outside of it. You can't see the patterns because you're focused on one celebrity and you're focused on one celebrity's children. And the more you follow them on social media, the more you follow them in their day-to-day life, their managed day-to-day lives, you absorb their energy. You become relatable to their problems. So then you defend them. That's the whole point of idol worshiping. And it's with specifically the unawakened and awakened Israelites that this will always be a problem for us. It's always a problem for us. You don't know how many times we went into slavery. We didn't go into slavery because we fornicated. I mean, yeah, we did. We fornicated. We murdered. I mean, we killed some of the prophets. Those things happen. But you know what really sent us into slavery every single time? Is worshiping other people's gods. Why do you think Satan fought over Moses' body with the archangel Michael? Why do you think that happened? Why do you think Satan wanted Moses' body? I mean, Yahushua wasn't born yet. So at that point in time, the only leader that the Israelites had was Aaron and Moses. So think real quick. Why do you think Satan wanted Moses' body after he died? And the archangel Michael fought him over it. Because Satan knew. He knew that all I got to do is give them an idol to worship and I can manipulate them. I can get them to do whatever I want them to do as long as I got an idol for them. Because it's plain to see that they'll worship other people's gods because I seen what they do in Egypt. I seen what happened to them when they came out of Egypt. It's the same thinking. So now he raises up or he gets these occult-like, these Freemasonic handled puppets that you guys love and fight for, they get them into these secret societies, going by all these weird rituals and practices, just as in the ancient days, just as it done in ancient times. This nothing has ever changed with human nature. It really hasn't. We still have sex. We still fornicate. I mean, we still fornicate. We still murder. We still steal. We still lying. And we still worshiping idols and gods that do not save us in the long run. But that's what we put our money in. We put our eggs in that basket, the idol worshiping basket, and it has not paid off for us since the days of Egypt. Why do you think we keep going back into slavery? Now we're not going into slavery because this is the last captivity. Now you're going back into slavery mentally. Man, you gotta let that nonsense with these celebrities go. If you have a problem with what I say, you better come with some information and some real facts for me to change my mind to think that these celebrities ain't out here sacrificing their children or sacrificing their children's children. You can't disprove what I say. But because you worship and honor and exalt these celebrities, you relate to these celebrities, that you're supposed to be relating to the Most High, but you're relating to celebrities thinking that they are going to save you in the long run, that they're going to tell you all your worries and ails are going to go out the door if you worship them some more. And this is the whole point that I'm saying. In that video I posted that talked about the Freemasons between Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, it was, between... They were that talk conversation they had and was about Freemasons and the occult looking at it as a bloodline. And that's what they do. They look at everything as a bloodline. They bring their children up under it. I mean, Skull and Bones is a perfect example. George Bush. And then the father and then the son go through the same. They pass that down. They pass these demons down to their children. So it's a bloodline. So when I showed police accosting black folk, who decide to trust in their own spirit and not understand what is going on outside of them, they decide to trust in their own spirit and thinking that they are going to get treated like white America. And it's not happening that way. Yes, white folk is getting killed and shot more then black folk are getting killed and shot, but you only see one side of that equation, which is my point. It's the people who control the matrix, control mainstream media, control what you see, your visuals. They control it. So, of course, everything Freemasons do is to put struggle and strife in front of your eyes and make you think that you're still in slavery, make you think you're still under punishment, make you think you're still in curses. That's what they have to do. They have to create drama in order to bring out the Antichrist. And they can't do that if we as Black America sit back and just relax and chilling and only see them, accosting their own people. It doesn't work that way. That's what I'm trying to show you. It's a bloodline that they choose to show specific attributes to their bloodline is why y'all keep getting caught up, because you keep fighting against a system that really you can beat it by not participating in it. That's what I was trying to show. And then, of course, some moron has, it's about hating white men. It's being divisive. Let me get this through your brain. I'm not being divisive. If anything, I'm already separate and being divisive based on the law, statutes, and commandments I choose to follow. Not everybody is following that. Not everybody's chasing the Most High. That already, everybody's chasing the world. So that already, I'm already separate and being divisive based on the truth that I see in front of my eyes. I don't care about your ethnicity or where you from, that you went through the same problems and you trying to create some type of harmony for yourselves or harmony online. I'm not trying to create none of that. I'm not trying to have no unity. I'm not trying to be your leader. I'm not trying to be a captain. I'm simply giving you the truth so you can make up your own mind, and then that your mind and your spirit and your soul will soon after gravitate itself to the Most High. That's what I want to do. I want to send you. I want to give you the plane ticket. I want to give you the bus pass. I'm trying to give you the Uber XL to go to the Most High. I'm not the one-stop shop. I'm not trying to lead nobody. I prefer anyway to fight a war by myself, because I know exactly who to trust. Me. I know exactly who to go to. Yeah. I know exactly how to prepare and fight this system. the prayer closet. That's what I do. Now, if you want to follow me in this fight, these are the things that you have to do. Which it starts with following the Most High and not following celebrities. And not getting mad every time I bring up what white folk do. I don't care. That's they've done some foul mess. Just like I bring up my people doing foul mess. And people come and get mad. Oh, you're trying to be divisive because I'm pointing out white drama or white foolishness. And I stop pointing out black foolishness. So it's cool for me being black to speak on black truths, black occult, black Freemasons, Prince Hall Freemasons. I'm all right to talk on that. But soon as I touch white Freemasons, which is York Rite, Scottish Rite, white Freemasons are all white. Soon as I touch that, now people who are supposedly in the truth or supposedly being awakened themselves, quick to defend white folks' shenanigans, even if it's tied to Freemasonry. That's how completely mind-blown these people are, because their default setting is to defend the white race because everybody's attacking the white race right now. Which is, you shouldn't even be offended. You really shouldn't. Do you have knowledge of your relatives tying up little black babies and having them sit in the swamp for alligators to come? Do you know if they did that or not? Then you shouldn't worry about it. No one's trying to make white folk feel guilty for anything, because most of y'all don't even talk to your grandparents to even know what happened back in those times. Some of you don't have nothing to do with it, luckily. But every time I start talking about white Freemasons, I break it down color, then people come in as a default setting trying to defend the white race regardless of wickedness. And that's their problem. It shouldn't be our problem. Our problem should never be equating what we need to do or haven't done with another race or another nation. We need to get out of that too. So I decide that some posts I need to gravitate it to a race so they can wake up and be accountable. We all need to be accountable. I don't care if you didn't do it or you weren't there or your ancestors wasn't a part of it. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. I pray to have to be accountable for the sins of my forefathers. Let me give you an example. Fourth book of Ezra in the Sefer, chapter 1. Verse 5, go your way and show. This is the Most High talking to Ezra. Ezra is a Levite, straight from the lineage of Aaron and Eleazar, which is Aaron's son. Go your way and show my people their sinful deeds and their children their wickedness, which they have done against me, that they may tell their children's children, because the sins of their fathers are increased in them, for they have forgotten me and have offered unto strange Elohim. That proves my point with blood sacrifices within our bloodline. That we're quick to worship other people's gods regardless of how they do it. We have done it. We haven't stopped doing it. Through sex, blood, all that for fame and money and power. Nothing's changed. But this is my point. That you can't sit here and get upset when I go after certain celebrities. Like Sha'Carri Richardson. If you look at that Teen Vogue magazine, her whole structure, she would have to be naked in front of me forever for me to ever believe that she is a female. I just don't believe it. It's just her structure and me looking, actually doing the research and looking at the structure of different females, some with testosterone all of a sudden, with a lot of testosterone, and some with no testosterone, and the way certain women are built, I looked at it all. I just don't point and gang up on one person and think, oh, I'm just talking crazy. But it doesn't look right to me. Some of you have been watching and looking at androgynous women too much, so then you can't tell, because you're so close to the TV set, you can't tell who's female and who's male. And they slide them in on you. Sometimes they make a big deal out of a female athlete that has too much testosterone. They make a way bigger deal on something that's so little as testosterone, so they can slide in people who are really males into a feminine sport so we can idolize them. Like I said before, this goes all the way back to Satan fighting over Moses' body. Because he knew that we are a nation that'll love idol worshiping. And so if they can get somebody who's a male pretending to be a female, that works for their that whole Baphomet transsexual god. It works for them. They like doing that. They showing you they can get away with it in front of your face, and y'all defended it. Oh, it's a female. I don't get it. Because you see what? You see her always wearing those same tired wigs she keep wearing. You've never seen her real hair. You see the extra long fingernails that take your mind off, you take your eyesight off the fact that her hands are bigger, almost bigger than her face. I'm not saying that there aren't women with big hands. Yeah, I'm saying that. But let's look at the total package of it, please. Let's look at the whole thing. Y'all defend stuff that you don't even look at it in a different way. You don't think that, oh, because like I said before, you believe that in order to make white America hate us or to get back at white America is through these celebrity athletes that they create, these characters that they create underneath their rituals, underneath their God. It should be plain to see that no one has a platform unless you go through their God. All of a sudden, she ran that one race and her mother passed. And she says, oh, my mother passed. Why would you say that after a race? That should tell you. And she keeps bragging about her comeback. She keeps bragging about how she's going to be number one. She keeps bragging about how she's going to be champion. She keeps bragging how about y'all underestimating me. Why do you think she's doing it? It's not because she's confident. It really isn't. Tom Brady did the same thing when he was talking about his wife. And she said, oh, you're not going to go to the Super Bowl this year, but next year is going to be your year. Like, they tell you this right out in front of your face. That they orchestrate these specific characters for their story, their comeback story. Because when Tom Brady became a champion and retired, what is the first thing they go to? They go to the fact that he was a sixth-round draft pick. He wasn't athletic. He really wasn't. He was an okay player at Michigan. They go through that so to make his story more real and more appealing to you so you can relate that this underdog story, and as if the Colt never touched Tom Brady. That the Baphomet has never touched Tom Brady. That's what they sell to you, and they sell it to Black America too, with these specific characters. She's talking all that mess because she knows that they are going to put her on a fast track to be an Olympic champion. So everybody can sit there and say, oh, they hated on her. So Black women be like, oh, yeah, this is who we need to be. And y'all get these long nails out of nowhere. You're not modest anymore. You go back to all this yellow and coloring purple wigs that y'all do. That's all that for. It's to get you to hate yourself using a character, using an athlete that's easily liked. Because she's a loudmouth and she's going to be showing that she's going to back it up on the track, which all they're going to do is pull a couple of girls off that track from track and field that could beat him or whatever. You act like they can't do that. You act like they're like, oh, all the Jamaican girls, you act like they can't put them in different heats. You act like they can't sit one down because I'm pretty sure they can do that. The occult can pull strings. You see them, destroy a whole election process overnight and act like y'all don't know what's going on. You get the same presidents. You get the same Masonic leaders. You think they can't just pick a champion? You see them do it with football. You think they can't pick a track athlete? It's only six or seven people on that track. You think they can't put one down? Make sure she gets sick or make sure like, hey, you sitting out? They do the same thing. They did the same thing with Serena and Venus. They have to make it believable. Believable. Y'all look at these two things. Y'all act like they full female. Heads are getting bigger. Every year their heads getting bigger. Their body's getting bigger. You can't take those hormones for so long. Because you'll give yourself blood clots. That's the offset of taking those hormone pills past a certain age. Past 30 or so, you can't take them anymore. And then you'll start seeing those features come out. Y'all don't want to believe it because you believe King Richard and all this other foolishness. Every black athlete, you think these people belong to you. And they don't. They are your gatekeepers. Gatekeepers to keeping you mentally retarded. And then this specific person comments on my page, oh, it's the Second Amendment. No one's bigger than who so. No one's bigger than the race. You race up. I'm like, all right, man, whatever. These are people every time somebody pokes fingers at a white folk, then it's like I got to defend them and say that we are all the same. We are all in this boat together. The Second Commandment says we need to love. But let's get this. Let's go to facts then. If you want to go through that, let's go to facts. Let's go to the fourth book of Ezra, chapter 3. Now, in this chapter, he's in captivity. The Israelites went into captivity in Persia. And what Ezra is having difficulty with is that he's seeing a lot of people sin. He's seeing all the other nations sinning and not really being reprimanded for it. So he's kind of going through, in chapter 3, he's going through the story of creation all the way up to who was picked to handle the Torah and all that. So he's this is how he talks to the Most High. This is what you should do when you talk to the Most High. You really had to bring all his creation to him, like repeat back everything he's done for you, done for everybody, done for you, and then you go into asking for as far as a prayer. That's a strong prayer. Like if you read all the books of Ezra, it's a very strong prayer. He always talks about what the Most High has done, all his works, all his marvelous works, and then he goes into what he wants. So in this chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And your glory went through four gates of fire and of earthquake and of wind and of cold, that you might give the Torah unto the seed of Jacob and diligence unto the generation of Israel." It doesn't say it gave the Torah to anybody else. It don't even say Christians. And this is what Christians suffer, especially when it comes to the books that's not in the King James Bible. They suffer going through these books because these books don't mention anything about Christianity. It doesn't mention anything about religion. And most people have difficulty following these books because they're trying to read it as if they were reading a book from beginning, middle, and end. When scripture states you hear a little, there a little, precept, line upon line, precept upon precept. You can't just read scripture as if you're reading a book from beginning, middle, and end. It doesn't do any good to do that because a lot of these books have like little messages for the future in them in a time that's really not present. So if you go through like either Jeremiah or Isaiah, you just be like, you're reading like the captivity of the Israelites, then you tell them about coming out of captivity, and then the whole book changes and says, the verses go, in that day. Like, that's when it says, in that day. That's where you got to look at the future of whatever's going to come. That's how those messages are snuck in there. It's like a Rubik's Cube, really. You got to kind of move it around and take scripture out, take certain things out, and close it up and put other things where it needs to be so the story makes sense. Because it's not meant to be read like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not. It's literally 1, 3, you go back to 2. Jump to 6, 7, 8, 9, then go back to 1. Like, that's how the Bible is read. And it unlocks different things in your mind, especially in your spirit, so that Ruach can grow so you understand the nature of the Most High. Now, we can never figure out his mighty plan or guess his mind, the way his mind works, but you can get a little bit of that spirit, that knowledge, that Ruach, what they call it, Ruach Ben Yah, which is the spirit of understanding. You can get that and understand for your own sake and your own life and your own spirit how to move and walk through this world. But this is my point. This is what upsets me, because every other nation is going through their own awakening. They are. We are different. And people will not let us have our awakening. Because they've been taught by the Gentiles that this Bible is for everybody. Yes, the words in the scripture is for everybody to understand and enjoy and get your life right. But underneath that, the foundation of that is our history. So people get upset and think we're being divisive because we want to claim our history. This is something we never got to claim before. We get tired. Let's keep saying that we're African Americans when America has been nothing but manipulating us, whoring us out. This is the first time in the history of an awakening that we are able to wake up and say we belong to somebody. We belong into a nation. We belong to a country. We belong to something. And people are trying to step in and make it about, it's about everybody. And it's not. And I can show you, like, it's nothing wrong with, you know, being a part of what we're doing. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. But I need to be more protective of who I allow on my page. So if people are using Jesus and Christ and reciting to me every other scripture, like this one guy I had to block, and he thinks it's a one because I'm being ironic that I'm trying to stop him from believing what he's believing, that it's only one way. It is only one way. It's really only one way to call the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh. It's only one way, and it's our way. And I gotta block people or restrict their comments because I'm trying to set a precedent that is not about everybody. And we have to, if you start preaching the truth, that's how you should preach it. There's a lot of other Instagram pages like Reformed by Christ and all these other Christian soft watered down scripture sites that you can go to. I'm not going to do that. I like to be a doom and gloom type of pastor. If I was ever a pastor, I would be doom and gloom, because I need to put at least some type of truth and fear, so you're not sitting back on your laurels and thinking like, oh, God loves me so much that I don't have to follow his rules because I'm forgiven and I'm always forgiven. So he'll know I mess up, so I don't really have to seek him as hard because I don't have that fear. I just have that love. And that's what Satan wants you to believe. That's why Satan has put himself ahead of the church, to get you to believe that you can do all the sin you want and thinking it's okay because Jesus understands and God understands your heart. So you're always forgiven. And I promise you, it's not the way. I'd rather scare you so you can act right. So at least you have you know exactly what's going to happen to you if you don't do these certain things. But we as a nation have to start building our own people up. And that's what I'm doing, building my own people up. For, I'll give you a great example. The first book of Ezra, chapter 4. It says, now, this is when they went into captivity to Persia. And the Persian king spirit was stirred up, and the Persian king allowed some of the Israelites to go rebuild the temple in Jerusalem while they were still in captivity. Now, this is verse 1 of chapter 4. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto Yahuwah, Elohim of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your Elohim as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Ekachadon, king of Ashur, which is king of Syria, which brought us up hither. Then the people, but Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our Elohim, but we ourselves together will build unto Yahuwah Elohim of Israel, as King Koresh, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Now, when people get mad because we decide to be divisive or decide to be set apart, and people want to be set apart with us, not everybody can join in rebuilding our nation. I think that's what people get upset about, is they want to put their hands in everything because they're used to having your hands in everything, because a specific race has used to set the default setting is it cannot be touched. We have to touch everything. We have to get involved with everything because we created this world. We created this matrix. So it's nothing that we shouldn't be able to touch. I mean, look for prime example is gays getting mad for Chick-fil-A being against homosexuality. There's plenty other restaurants and plenty other chains that they can go eat in, but they want to touch everything. They complain because they can't be allowed in everything. And that's how it is here. That's how it is for us. Yes, you can follow along the scripture. Yes, you should follow along to our customs and what we do and how we praise the Most High. But you can't be involved in everything we do. And when I post, it's not about everybody. It's about a specific nation. And this is what happened when they were told no. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in the building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Koresh, the king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they got upset that we wouldn't let them build our temple to our Yahuwah. Wouldn't let them build it. So they're like, all right, they told us no. So let's mess up their plans. And that's what people do. That's what they do on Instagram. Oh, I don't feel like I'm involved with the truth. My race, my ethnicity, who I belong to doesn't belong in this type of truth. So I got to burn it up. I got to mess it up because it's not about me. And that's what pride, that sickness of pride and arrogance and narcissism comes into a spirit at play. And that's what you're going to have to deal with when you really start going off on your own and teaching and finding out the word and teaching your specific scriptures and things that you're good at. Because we all have gifts and talents to do that. But I wouldn't sit back and care about, I wouldn't say sit back, but I wouldn't even be worrying yourself about this whole Ukraine thing either. Because America is never going to tell you the truth about anything. Of course, they're going to make it seem like Russia is the big bad wolf. And we got to protect the three little pigs, Europe, Rome, and Ukraine. Come on. The leader of Ukrainian is an actor, a comedian. How can you take this guy serious? I mean, we've ourselves had politicians who were actors. We even had a president that was an actor. These people are puppets. And you all seen them take pictures with the Pope. Everybody has gone to the Pope. Y'all don't understand, this Roman Catholic thing stretches all across this place. The way they worship stretches all across the globe. The calendar stretches all across the globe. I laugh when people really be into this numerology thing. People don't like gematria, but they'll get into this numerology where they see 333 or 444 or 555. Now it's 222. And don't realize that calendar is only 440 years old. That means a Jesuit priest and a Catholic pope made this calendar up after switching it from the Julian calendar, which was the calendar of Caesar. We are following Rome. So people, I'm manifesting this number. Where do you think you get these numbers from? You get them from people who are pedophiles, murderers, rapists, and they're all doing it under the guise of worshiping Jesus or worshiping God, which we all know that now. That's a lie. They worship Satan. But that's where the calendar's from. So if they are unlocking demons with these specific calendars and numbers, what do you think you are doing? When you post, 444, it means my angel number. Angels do not speak in any numbers. Demons speak in numbers. Demons know numbers. If you read the Testament of Solomon, they tell you, the number of the one that's going to hang on the cross is 641, Emmanuel, which is their name for Yahusha. Demons know numbers. Lucifer's number is like, 7, 1, 12, something like that. It's something that adds up to 12. But demons know numbers. They know demons can be unlocked through mathematical equations. People send them, they're talking about, my angel number is this. That ain't no angel. You talking about demons you paying attention to. But this is the witchcraft that has people stuck at that true awakening. Because I went through it too. When I was awakening and I started being in scriptures and I started paying attention to symbolism and all that, what came with it was I started astral projecting and didn't know that was, you shouldn't be doing that. But that's what I was doing. I was happy doing it. I was going to sleep and couldn't wait till I astral projected, not knowing that was witchcraft. And then I started paying attention to, it would be 333 on the clock, or every time I looked at my phone, it was, 555. You know, it's like certain, like those little coincidences and those numbers that align with whatever you think. And even I started Googling what was an angel number. Oh, I saw this number. What does this mean? Does this mean my prayers getting answered? Angels don't talk that way. Because the more I go into scripture and knowing the interaction between angels and the Israelites, it had nothing to do with numbers. It was always coming with, hey, this is what the Most High wanted me to show you. And then they would go into a dream and they explain the dream. It was never like, hey, you know those rocks right there you saw? There was four rocks right there. That means he's listening to you. That's what that means. You see these four rocks, these four pebbles lined up together? That's what the number four means for you. It was never nothing like that in the Bible. I don't know why people are so heavily into this numerology that way. It's almost worse than gematria. Going around staring at numbers or license plates or, you know, digital clocks and trying to figure out what the message means. Like, it would drive you crazy. That's like the next step underneath astrology. I mean, like I said before, everything I talk about on this show, in these episodes, I've done it to the max. I have a addictive personality. Once I get into something, I gotta see it all the way through until I find out it ain't working, and then I'll jump to something else and I'll keep going. And that's how you have to be. I'll literally strip everything down so I know the core of it, so I can be free, so I have true understanding. Some of you aren't doing that. You're not searching for the bottom of everything. You're trying to use like tricks of the devil without saying his name and trying to make yourself feel happy. And you keep bouncing off one thing on the other. You go from astrology to numerology to witchcraft and to Egyptology, and you bouncing around. And you don't know what you're doing is like the definition of insanity. You keep repeating the same cycle. You keep looping yourself over and not really coming to the end of anything you worship. Try it. Stick to one, whatever your thing is that's not about the Most High, shred that down to its last slice of anything. And I bet you it will lead you to nowhere. Keep doing that. Whatever your vice is, whatever you like, if it's your favorite celebrity or whatever it is, whatever your vice is, shred it down to why you particularly choose this particular vice for pleasure. And I bet you it's going to lead you nowhere. If you find out where it came from, if you find out what the foundation of it is, who owns it, who runs it, what's the symbolism of it, what's the etymology of it, if you shred that down, I promise you, it will lead you to nowhere. And you'd be like, damn, I was really into this the whole time? That's stupid. You would do that. But people, you know, get pride and be trying to defend it and don't know what they're defending because it makes them feel good in the moment. And they really haven't reached the bottom of whatever they worship. But let me go back to Ezra and the fourth book of Ezra, chapter 3. Because I really want to go back. Because I know a lot of you feel like that you are worshiping the Most High, trying to chase him, living in righteousness, but you feel that you feel like it's you're stuck. You feel like you're getting more pains than you are the glory of it. And I'm just trying to tell you, that is you knocking on that door to break through and to be released into a different type of spirit, a different type of person. It happened to me too. Because there was a lot of times that I felt like I should give up. Like, it was like I was following the Most High, doing all the law, statutes, commandments, searching him. And certain things that would annoy me kept happening to me. And it really was like, for first 2 through 3 seconds, I'm like, maybe I should just go back to sinning. Then I wouldn't have these issues. That goes through your mind. Because you feel like once you follow the law, statutes, commandments, everything should be honor and glory and beautiful, and the light should shine on you all the time, and you should be lifted up. Like, you should feel that every single day. But it doesn't happen that way all the time. It really doesn't, because you are being tested. You should know once you start leaving this matrix, everything gets harder for you. You start feel like you're stumbling. You feel like you're tripping. You feel like you can't think straight. You feel like you can't, your brain doesn't, it's just not focused on what you need to focus on. You know what you need to focus on, but it's just not happening for you. I'm telling you, that is, you don't understand the demons around you. That's them trying to get you to give up. That's when you know you're on the breaking point to break through in a different level of chasing the Most High. Like, it's different levels of heaven. look at it as it's different levels that you have to go through to really be for the Most High. Like, if, trust me, if it was just reading a couple of scriptures and getting the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh and just going about your business, everybody would do it. But it's different levels to it. You have to stumble a little bit. You have to go through certain pains, because that's how you build your spirit up to defeat certain demons. There's different levels of demons. There's like this chief demons, prince demons, you know, like king demons. Like, it's different levels of the demonic hierarchy. So you got to go through different levels of them to find that sweet spot. I call it the sweet spot. Because it's really when you start understanding and, you know, following the Most High, that certain things happen in your life that you pay attention to. Like, oh, I need to change my spirit. And that's what happens. I'll give you a good example before I get to Ezra. Brian on Instagram, I don't follow him, but we talk in the DMs pretty much almost every other day. And he sent me a video of Stephen Darby. And it was literally what I'm about talking about. It was about, you feel frustrated, you feel down, and you feel like, I'm going to teach the Most High, I'm just going to give up, and hoping that he comes and corrects you and give you everything you ask for. And it don't work that way. Things got to be put into place. But I think I should have thanked Brian for that. I didn't even say nothing. But I should thank him for that, because it was really at a time where I was thinking in my mind heavy. Like, why should I do this? Like, all I'm doing is arguing online. Like the certain things that's going on, the personal goals that I have set for me aren't really hitting where they're supposed to be. Like, I'm doing more struggling than I'm doing being blessed. Like, I'm more focused on the struggling part. Like, why can't things just click? I'm trying to do everything right. I'm following scripture. I'm staying out of sin. Why can't things just go the way I need them to go? And I would get frustrated. And then I just happened to go into Instagram that day and looked at a video that he sent me about Stephen Darby saying, you can't just give up. You're not going to teach the Most High a lesson by going back to sin, giving up and going back. You're not teaching the Most High nothing, because then when that sin leaks into your life and really trips you up, you're going to want to go back to the Most High anyway, because you're going to find out that going back to sin is going to hurt way more than, you know, staying in the game, staying focused and staying on that path so he can fix you, so you can stay on that righteous path, so he can fix your spirit and fix everything that's going on with you and things that you are frustrated on. He just needs time to do it. And I should have thanked him, but if he listens to this episode, thank you for actually sending me that, because that actually got me back on track. And that's what I'm saying. Like, once you find that sweet spot, you start looking and seeing everything outside of you and inside of you as a way to teach your spirit how to walk right. You'll find little messages like that. That's when you know the Most High is really communicating with you, is when you find tiny messages within your everyday life. Even if you're not looking for it, you find those little messages and you're like, man, I was just thinking about this 20 minutes ago. Now I got the answer. And it comes in that, like, a different form. That's that sweet spot. That's when you really know your spirit is open for correction. That's the beautiful part of it. I think a lot of times that we do get in our own way and think, oh, we've been following the Most High, everything should be working. Like, I should be walking to a dealership and just get a car loan just like that. I should walk into, you know, asking for, you know, lower rent, and I should get lower rent because I've been following the Most High. We wish that could happen, especially now in this inflation when gas prices are going up, rent is going up. You know, we hope that we could be able to have that type of power. But things, like I said before, it takes time. We have to be tested. Our spirit has to be tested. Demons are working twice as hard every single day, nonstop. They don't sleep. And their one thing is to keep people who are searching for the light away from the light. You understand? And I get that we feel like, why is all the people who are doing the wickedness, who are doing devil horns, who always, you know, sticking out their tongues, doing the all one-eyed symbolism, when are they going to get punished? I get that, because it seems like they are having the time of their lives. They're having a blast. They're having a ball doing all this devil worshiping, dressed up in these costumes, devil horning it up, sticking out, like I said, sticking out their tongue, doing all this fun and not getting punished for it. It makes us discouraged. But let me tell you, this ain't the first time we've had these emotions. or had these feelings about our walk. Let me go back to Ezra. Like I said before, Ezra is a Levite. That's the most highest office you can have with the Most High, is to be a Levite and member. Ezra didn't see death. Ezra was carried up to the Most High. It's only been a couple people who have actually gotten the beginning, middle, and end of everything that's going to happen and be taken up to the Most High. It was Enoch and Ezra and maybe somebody else, but I'm excited because Ezra is literally the other person I know that's been told and been shown all of these beautiful prophecies and in detail with parables attached to it, that you'd be able to understand how the Most High really thinks about people in wickedness. But this is what Ezra was going through. I'll start at 4th Ezra chapter 3, verse 29. For when I came thither and had seen impieties without number, then my soul saw many evildoers in this 13th year, so that my heart failed me. For I have seen how you suffer them sinning, and have spared wicked doers, and have destroyed your people, and have preserved your enemies, and have not signified it. I do not remember how this way may be left. Are they then of Babylon, better than they of Zion? Or is there any other people that knows you beside Israel? Or what generation has believed your covenants as Jacob? And yet their reward appears not, and their labor has no fruit. For I have gone here and there through the heathen, and I seen that they flow in wealth, and think not upon your commandments. Weigh therefore our wickedness now in the balance, and theirs also that dwell in the world. And so shall your name nowhere be found in Israel. Or when was it that they which dwell upon the earth have not sinned in your sight? Or what people have so kept your commandments? You shall find that Israel by name has kept your precepts, but not the heathen. So he's saying, like, we are following your law, statutes, commandments. Why do you keep punishing us for slipping when everybody else is having a time of their lives? You should read that. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for you, but read that chapter and keep going. Because he says, like, he don't care that they actually doing this evil, all this evil wickedness. He don't care. He had this beautiful parable about gold, clay, and lead, and how all these things like clay, lead, and all these different types of surfaces in the earth are plenty. There's a lot of that, but it's not that much gold. And what he's doing is polishing off the gold. That's all he's doing. He's worried about the gold part. He don't care about the people that's sinning. As long as it don't come next to his children, or if he needs the evildoers to use them to punish us, so we know, like, we don't want to live like them. That's what really it should teach you, being in America this long. If you awakened as an Israelite, if you awakened spiritually in any other nation, you listening to me, that's what it should do. It should wake you up to be set apart, because you should be done living as an American. You should be tired of living in Egypt. Tired of living in Babylon. That's the whole point of that. That's the reason why the Most High really doesn't care that much about those evildoers, because their time will come. They have a purpose. Like, you see all these wars and all these Freemasons and all these weird sex genres and genders that they're coming out with. He wants that to continue happening, so you get so sick of looking at it, so sick of hearing about it, that you just cling to him and look for his blessings. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of coming out of this world. That's why it was a struggle for Ezra to understand that. Because the Most High had to really say, like, look, everybody has a time and a place. But I'm more worried about the righteous. I'm more worried about my children waking up and doing right by me. That's all I care about. The evil, wicked, evildoers or whatever, they're going to have their time. They're going to sacrifice their children. Either they're going to have a mishap and somebody else sacrifice them. Either or, they're all going to see me in my glory in the day of judgment, and they're going to be shaking in their boots. What are we going to be doing? Hopefully, we won't be shaking in our boots. It'd be like if we won the lottery and they told you can buy an island in Bora Bora. Here's the ticket, get on the plane. Y'all would, you wouldn't y'all be smiling from ear to ear? I know I would be. I won't be. I wouldn't be worrying about nothing else. But it goes through the narrow way. It goes to the straight way. See, the wicked, they think it goes all every which way. They think it's the broad way. And they're going to come to a rude awakening. That everything they thought they could get away with in this lifetime, that no one's watching them, they're going to have the biggest shock when their spirit is troubled. I talked about before in Ezra how the dead is just wandering for 7 days, and they get to see everything that they did, and they get to see where they're going, and they get to see where we will be at, hopefully. The righteous are guarded by angels. Trust me, I'd rather, you know, suffer a little bit in time to strengthen my spirit, strengthen it against corruption. I'd rather go through that this lifetime now than to be able to get on that plane or if the Most High to take me somewhere that's going to be like Bora Bora, that's going to be like the new Jerusalem, the new heaven. I'd rather struggle right now to get to that point so then I can be glad and joy so that the feeling hits different. That's the point. The point is to feel glorious now. And then when you get to glory, you'd be like, this is it? Because that's how we would be. I think human nature, that's how we would react. If we were promised a promised land and we lived that promised land now and then gone into the hereafter, we wouldn't have the same joy, the same effect. So be in the now is what I'm saying. Be in the now. Understand and focus. Don't worry about the evil dude. I know my page is dedicated to waking y'all up out of certain idol worshiping tendencies. That's why I only post the worst stuff. I really wish I could just go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, y'all, and Corinthians, y'all, but you ain't gonna learn nothing to keep hearing the same scriptures about love and loyalty and faith. I don't wanna do that. I want you to start fighting, learn how to fight. Learn how to separate yourself. I want you so sick of looking at the same stuff you've been looking at and actually come away from it. Because you know where those wicked evildoers are heading. Don't get down. Don't get frustrated. Stay within your walk. Stay within the Most High's blessings so he can move you along as he sees fit. Like I said, you got to go through levels of demons to find that sweet spot so you can see it for what it really is. And the only way you can do that is if you come out of this world step by step and leave these celebrities alone, leave their children alone, leave the music that you listen to alone, and start learning how to refresh your mind. Detox yourself in order to fight, because it's not going to get any easier, because once demons know that you leave in the, when they leave in pleasure, once they know you leave in pleasure, they'll start bombarding your senses with numerology, angel numbers, and other type of new age spiritualism. That's what they do well. It's introducing you to that when you feel like you are awakening out of their matrix. They got to fool you in thinking that you're waking up back into their system. They're trying to plug you back in. Just don't let that happen. And I'm going to end it with this. Once you understand the power of the Most High, when it comes to kings, pharaohs, it don't matter. The Most High controls both sides. I don't want y'all to get excited every time you see some wars or people dying and all that happens. People are going to die in wars, and there's going to be a lot more wars after this one. And it's going to be a lot more bloodier after this one. And I don't want y'all to be scared. I want you to understand, once you come under the protection and refuge of the Most High, you have to read scriptures and really go into how the Most High really did things against other pharaohs and kings. Like, for instance, Isaiah 19:14, Yahuwah has mingled a perverse ruach in the midst of thereof, and they have caused Mitzrayim, Egypt, to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. That means the Most High, to trip up a nation, will send demons, will give demons the task, get in his ear and make them do this. And they will go do it. That's what it says, staggers around in vomit. That's what America's going through right now. They are staggering around in their own vomit, and we catching them. We're catching their shame. So leave it alone so he can destroy these people. It happened again in Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Koresh, king of Persia, the word of Yahuwah by mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Yahuwah stirred up the Ruach of Koresh, king of Persia. He stirred him up for them to go and leave and build another temple. That's the Most High's doing. These kings don't mean nothing. These presidents don't mean nothing. The Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits, they don't mean nothing, because they still follow demons that the Most High control to work his purpose to make all these nations stagger around in their own vomit. So we can sit back and laugh like, man, I can't believe we really took this world for serious or for real. I'll see y'all next time.